All right. Hi, everybody. Let me just start off by saying thank you. Thank you very much to all of you for watching this show. More and more of you have been watching this show recently. And I think it's because there's a global hunger for news that isn't filtered by some government agency or some corporate shill. We're committed to context. We're committed to truth-telling. And in that vein, can you imagine the president's spokesperson getting angry because somebody asked a question about Mr. Biden's memory? We got that. Also this, how about a previously respected news show putting a wig on an FBI agent to do a story about Havana Syndrome? Havana Syndrome. Look, this sounds silly, but that's where we are. And that's what, well, that's the reason I do what I do. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. We have so much to talk about today, so let me tell you who I'm going to be talking to. We are joined by political commentator and co-host of Fault Lines and Radio Sputnik, Jamarl Thomas. Thank you, Jamarl, for being with us here today.
Oh, man, thank you for inviting me.
I want to begin with this thing. I don't know if you saw this, but it's absolutely fascinating. It really bothered me when I saw it, and it's probably going to bother you, too. Not so much because of what she said, but because of what she failed to say. And what it tells me as I watch this or as I listen to this is that this is a woman who is supposed to bring us news out of the White House, right? That's her job. But instead, she's more of a PR tool for the president, nothing more and nothing less. Watch what happens as Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre this week has a meltdown, a literal meltdown, when asked what seems to me, and I think to most people, to be a fair question.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though, they all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a incredibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
You're taking us down this rabbit hole. I'm not even going to take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting.
Rabbit hole, incredibly insulting, Jamarl?
Wow. That's intense. Just say no. Just say no, right?
Yeah, do the Nancy Reagan thing, right?
Yeah, no, what's next? Yeah. That creates a story. I mean, look, maybe she's feeling a bit of pressure because that has been the conversation that has been taking place for the last several years. I mean, for God's sake, her report, they let him off because they say he wasn't cognitively there.
This man called a news conference to tell people that his memory was fine and then confused the president of Mexico with the president of Egypt.
Right.
In that very news conference.
Right.
It is a perfectly legitimate and fair question. I sometimes feel like I have Alzheimer's. I mean, we all kind of do. I mean, she could have. The point I'm making is memory's a funny thing. He's almost 80 years old. Just be honest about it.
It is. Look, being the president is a hard job under normal circumstances. An 80-year-old man that needs to do it, I would imagine it's even harder. He's going to have to run from pillar to post. I don't know how Joe Biden's going to do that. And let's be honest. What we have been perceiving is a man that does seem to have cognitive difficulties.
There's no question.
Yeah.
And so did my mother. And so does anybody who gets into their late 70s and early 80s.
Right.
I mean, it's not like he's got a deficiency as a human being.
Yeah.
He's got a deficiency because he's friggin' old.
Yes, and he's doing a job.
But she should accept that and say, look, the president is not a 40-year-old man.
Right.
From time to time, he has issues. But I think he does, all things considered, a good job, and he's got really good people around him to help him deal with stuff.
Yeah. You can even hit Trump and say, hey, and he's a better option than Trump if that's what you want to put
in. And by the way, Trump has his own cognitive issues.
Right.
Have you heard him lately on the stuff that he forgets, et cetera? So
I guess
all of our politicians are old as hell in this country. I don't understand why, but they are.
Yeah.
One more thing on this issue that bothers me. Why have we gotten to a point in this country where the person who used to be called the press secretary is no longer really a press secretary? A press secretary means that you have relationships with the press.
Right.
She doesn't come from the press. She's never covered a story. She's not a journalist. I checked today and looked at her background. She's been a hack all her life.
Yes.
And a hack is the word that we use for people who work in marketing and public relations, and all they do is sell a product.
Right.
She's there to sell the president,
yes,
not to tell us the truth.
Was Jen Psaki any different?
Completely, I mean, not different.
Keep in mind, MSNBC, while she is press secretary.
This is the new trend in America, yeah, and it's wrong. I mean, this is not a corporation. This is, the White House is my house.
Yeah.
The government of the United States should be the government of Rick Sanchez and Jamarl, because
yeah,
we're the citizens. But they don't treat us that way anymore. They're like a Pepsi-Cola, and they're trying to get us to try a new flavor.
I mean, maybe this is, you know, my age showing. From my point of view, I always consider these guys propagandists of the president. Basically, what does the president want you to believe? Not necessarily what's true. And
you're
that's
right,
unfortunate.
But it used to not be so bad.
Agreed.
It's gotten worse.
It's gotten far worse.
All right, let's get to the next one. 60 Minutes. Talk about propagandists. My God, 60 Minutes used to be one of the most respected news programs on the planet. But have you seen it lately? I mean, in terms of who they hire and what they cover, I mean, let's just say the old gray horse, she ain't what she used to be, okay? Here they are. This one's amazing. We covered it this week. We wanted to bring it back to you, and I want to get your reaction on this. Here they are recently doing a story on a topic that even the U.S. government says is a dead story. Havana Syndrome, which is supposed to be some kind of acoustic weapon that gives embassy workers, or gave embassy workers, who are essentially CIA workers, at the embassy there in Havana, some kind of headaches. And, of course, the Russians are responsible for this because they got this special ray gun that shoots through walls or something. Whatever. The story was already put down, but now 60 Minutes brings it back, and they bring it back by talking to some Bulgarian journalist who has indirect ties to the CIA, and then they get a woman who's an FBI agent to wear a blonde wig and talk. You can't make this up. This is 60 Minutes. They get a woman to put on a blonde wig and talk about her horrible headaches. Here it is.
One of them is Carrie. We're disguising her and not using her last name because she's still an FBI agent working in counterintelligence.
It was like a dentist drilling on steroids. That feeling when it gets too close to your eardrum, it's like that, you know, times 10.
Again, she looks exactly what she used to look like, but with a blonde wig. Who in the hell approved this? And what happened to my 60 Minutes?
I'm looking at her, I'm like, okay, the wig doesn't hide. She does. If I saw on the street, I don't know exactly who the woman is. The wig doesn't hide.
This is 60 Minutes? I mean, and they want us to take their reporting serious?
The intelligence community has said there's nothing here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in order to go against Russia, which is what, you know, outfits like 60 Minutes do.
Yeah.
By the way, I have friends who are producers there. Who do you think their sources are? Where do you think they get their news?
I mean, if they're talking about a story from CIA, I would imagine.
Thank
CIA
you.
Sources.
They get their stories from their sources who all work at the State Department and the CIA. So it's like, it's kind of, I think it's become lazy reporting. Somebody calls them in the government and says, got this new story. It's really good. And by the way, it's about what Iran is doing.
Yeah.
Or it's about what Venezuela is doing. Or it's about what Russia is doing. Or it's about what China is doing. It's never like, oh, a country that is our friend did something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, how obvious,
well,
right?
Well, they are, from a media perspective, they're incentivized to take that story.
Yeah.
Either way they look at it, right? Hey, I have a story that this other place is doing. Do you? And in which case, anonymous sources say this, and they run the story. The Havana Syndrome thing is absurd. I'm sorry. But, like, this puts me in the mind of, like, ray guns in space that is beaming something to somebody's head. It was happening all across the world, apparently.
And apparently the State Department went in, because they did, to their credit, they investigated it. They sent the tapes over to a group of scientists, and the scientists said, we know what that is. That's a specific bug that lives in Cuba and in the rest of the Caribbean and in the tropics.
Right.
A certain time of the year, they make that specific noise. That is not an acoustic ray gun. Those are not microwave signals. Those are bugs. And they said, okay, end of story.
Yeah.
And why do these people have headaches? Cuban rum, probably. It's not what it used to be either.
They can't attribute what it's coming from, how it's happening, it's not affecting the brain.
Maybe, but it has to be the Russians.
Has to be the Russians. It's a ray gun that the Russians are using in various places, and they're affecting the
CIA.
But
again, I mean,
it makes no sense.
The same standards they would use if the story was about somebody else, they don't use when it comes to Russia or China or this or that. anytime we've gotten to the point where it's almost like if the investigator is pro Biden, they'll give him a story about Trump and they'll do it.
Agreed.
If the investigator is pro Trump, they'll give him a story about Biden and he'll do it. If the investigator is given a story about Russia, they'll do it. But the standards have changed. It's like they're loosening.
Think of the Tillerson memo, if you remember. The Tillerson memo basically boiled down says, look, for people who are our friends, we leave to our devices. For people who are enemies, we use with human rights and those type of things in order as a club to go after those people. That is kind of the way it operates. I mean, look at the bombing of the building, the convoy in Israel recently.
But speaking of that, and I was just about to say what you're talking about is credibility and losing it. So speaking of credibility, after a long and exhaustive study, the UN investigator tasked with doing what is determined to be whether or not Israel is doing something in Gaza that can be characterized as genocide, she completed her report. And here it is. Here is UN Rapporteur Francesca Albanese.
I find that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the threshold indicating the commission of the crime of genocide against Palestinians as a group in Gaza has been met. The genocide in Gaza is the most extreme stage of a long-standing settler colonial process of erasure of the native Palestinians. In this darkest hour, the international community cannot continue to ignore that it's Israel's project to rid Palestine of Palestinians in defiance of international law and the world's failure to call Israel to account.
So, when she was done filing that report, which is a very comprehensive report and detailed exactly why it does fit the genocide model, the U.S. State Department came out with its own report, and they did not say, we disagree with the report, and here's why. They did not say, after reading this report, we're going to sit down with the Netanyahu government and come up with some response to it. They didn't say any of those things. Yeah. You know what they said?
They attacked her.
She is an anti-Semite and not to be believed.
Yeah, Matt Miller came out and put a knife in her immediately after. She wrote the thing called Anatomy of a Genocide. And she goes into, like you said, voluminous detail explaining why she believes it's a genocide.
And you could disagree with her.
You could disagree with her, but you should make that disagreement. Attacking her as an anti-Semite doesn't do it.
It's just too handy.
It is.
Pretty soon there's only going to be two types of people in the world, people who are or aren't anti-Semites, which means Israelis and everybody else.
Right. All right, right.
I mean, what's going on with this anti-Semite thing?
It is super weird. I mean, the reality of it is they use the anti-Semite thing as a way of dodging actual credible claims against Israel. Israel is a state. I'm sorry. It can be criticized like any other state. Like
but there really are anti-Semites in this world, and they're bad people. And they really do hate Jews.
But it's not her.
It's not her, and it has nothing to do with somebody who disagrees with a foreign policy of any country, whether it's Israel or anybody else.
Right. Any foreign policy they can criticize, especially if they're killing a lot of people right now. I mean, 32,000 people, even the convoy that just got hit. And then the U.S. position of it, John Kirby goes up. Well, an investigation is taking place. It's like, okay, well, what about the other 200 humanitarian workers?
Oh, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. In fact, you know what? Let's come back from the break and talk about that. I've got that lined up for you as well.
Because it's okay.
No, you're right. It was the right place to go because, and I think this is what you're intimating. It keeps happening.
Yes.
It keeps happening. And every time it happens, they say, oh, yeah, no big deal. We got it. We made a mistake, but we're going to investigate. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no big deal. We got it. We made a mistake. We're going to investigate. Oh, yeah, no big deal. We got it. We're going to investigate. There's never an investigation. Nope. There's never a conclusion. And the U.S. always says, okay, next. Speaking of next, when we come back, we're going to show you that video. Was it a precision missile that was used to attack that particular van of the relief workers who were trying to feed hungry people that Israel doesn't like? Yeah. And that's maybe what it comes down to. We're going to show it to you, so don't go away.
What is Bharat? Is it a travel ad? Is it a Bollywood poster? Is it the deepest yoga center in the world? Or is it something deeper, more complex, multifaceted? Let's talk without cliches. Let's talk Bharat.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact. Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Okay, I'm Rick Sanchez, and we're back with my guest, Jamaal Thomas, and I want you to look at this video because this is important. Go ahead, Ty, put this photo up. You see that right there? This is one of the World Central Kitchen vans from well-known chef Jose Andres. Military experts have looked at this hole on the top of the ceiling of this van, and they say that is a telltale sign of a precision-guided missile attack. Of course, the Netanyahu government will, for about the 40th time, say, oops, it was an accident, we won't do it again, we'll investigate. And anybody who says it was on purpose or criticizes us is just an anti-Semite, because that seems to be the pattern. But this is troubling, I think, to me, maybe because Jose Andres is one of the most famous chefs in the world. Yes. He's got a huge audience. He's loved, beloved in Latin America and in the United States. Yeah. He's kind of an insider. And it looks like Israel has some of the most sophisticated weaponry and some of the best technology and some of the smartest people who run these things in the entire world.
Yeah.
They're really good at this stuff. They can't be making this many mistakes until we come to the conclusion they're actually doing it on purpose.
I don't think this was a mistake at all. I think they knew exactly what they were doing. And, you know, you get Netanyahu with this kind of smirk as he's like, oh, our bad, with the smirk on his face, knowing full well that they basically murdered
America. But listen to what you're saying, though. They are killing aid workers simply because they want to feed the
correct
people they hate.
I believe strongly that, and I think the evidence pans out, Israel has gone with a systemic campaign of cutting and reducing the amount of food that the Palestinians have at their disposal. I mean, the calculations figuring out how many calories does any particular Palestinian need at any particular time. Yeah, I think they use starvation as a weapon. And I think the fact that they killed all of these aid workers, or for that matter, journalists who are photographing them killing these aid workers,
yeah,
is evidence of such. They, for one, the van
I
was marked.
I want to almost not believe that.
The van was marked.
It's monstrous.
They've killed 34,000 human beings.
Yeah,
they've called them animals.
We could also compare that to Dresden, and we compare it to some of the stuff we did in Iraq, and we can compare. There's something different about throwing a bomb somewhere that kills innocent people and actually targeting an innocent person.
Well, they don't consider them innocent. You're feeding the people who they're trying to get rid of.
These are people from Australia and the United States and Italy who are there to try and do a nice thing.
Who's supporting their enemies. They're doing nice things for people who they consider to be enemies of the state. Their job is to eliminate that area, or at the very least, move those people out of that area.
I'll take you at your press.
Because it's inconsistent.
But if that's true, what you're saying, then I'm going to make you Joe Biden for a minute. Yeah. I know you're going to have a memory lapse, but work through it. What do you get on the phone, you call Prime Minister Netanyahu, what do you say to him?
Joe Biden is in election season. And Joe Biden is trying to talk out both sides of his mouth. In one sense, I'm going to grumble because my base dislikes it. By the same token, I'm going to give them all the weapons and everything else. You realize after that took place, he still gave them weapons, meaning they were still sending weapon shipments to Israel.
Big time weapons, yeah.
At the exact same time that was basically
taking
place.
And he did it outside of Congress.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the other thing.
This is not something that he even had, he just said,
no, we're going to. He feels like he is in a box. He feels like, in one sense, my party hates this. My party is against me on this issue. So I need to grumble and complain and everything else.
Let me give you another example. Yeah. Speaking of killings that Israel is denying, but it seems pretty obvious that they did it, Israeli missiles struck an Iranian consulate building in Damascus, Syria.
Yeah.
Killing several Iranian officials, including two high-ranking generals, And of course, because it was done with U.S. made and furnished weapons, there's talk of war once again between the United States and Iran. So here's the report, by the way.
Iran is pledging revenge tonight, accusing Israel of attacking its embassy complex in Syria and reportedly killing at least 7 Iranian military officials. That includes a top general. The airstrike comes as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu faces growing pressure to step down.
I don't know if you caught something there, but I'm going to teach you a little something about journalism because I've been doing this my whole life and I'm a real journalist. So she starts the story with Iran is claiming.
Right.
Not Israel has struck and killed. It's That's Iran language, is right. claiming. By the way, there's a difference between say and claim. Mm-hmm. In journalistic standards, claim means you doubt that the person is right. truthful in what they're saying.
Right.
If I say Jamal claims that he's wearing a good-looking hat, I'm saying I don't think it's a good-looking hat.
Skeptical of it.
Right? Yeah. So, right. but you hear that in media all the time.
Yeah.
It's funny. If it's somebody you like, it's they said. If it's somebody you don't like, it's they claim.
Yeah.
And by the way, why are you even presenting the story as an Iranian claim when we know there are 7 dead people?
Yes, it actually happened.
They didn't just die or vanish into thin air, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be the host and the questioner and the questionee, but go on.
This is reckless, to put it mildly. And be very clear. Israel is trying to drag the U.S. into a war. I mean, it's almost as if I do something to you to provoke you. And the moment that you respond to it, now I have reason and justification in order to respond further and creating this kind of escalatory spiral. They know that the U.S. would get involved on the side of Israel if any other actor, whether it was Hezbollah or, for that matter, Iran, got involved.
Listen to what you're saying. You're saying Israel may be trying to get the United States in a war with Iran.
That may. Once. Netanyahu, if you
remember... How does that help him?
They want the U.S. on their side going against what they consider to be their major geopolitical enemy.
And they can't beat them by themselves.
I don't.
So they're going to start World War III. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Iran and U.S. means Iran, England, and all of our allies with, the U.S., Britain, and all of our allies with Iran's allies, which is most of the Middle East, and possibly even China, Russia, India, and some
it
of the stories.
It is a monstrous outcome. I understand.
Yeah, this is not pretty.
But this is what they want. If you remember, Netanyahu came to Congress. Netanyahu says he had an Amerfoot bomb. And he says, Iran is going to get the bomb any moment now. And we need to get involved. Meaning he wanted a hawkish perspective and precision of the United States to get far more involved in regards to Middle Eastern politics against Iran. This is their way of egging this on. If Iran responds, I mean, keep in mind, the U.S. State Department has basically put out a warning that Iran is going to respond within 48 hours. To this with a missile strike of their own. Imagine what the U.S. does.
You know, there's one other question I want to ask you, and I was tussling with this yesterday with one of my guests, and it's this question. We all tend to think that maybe foreign policy-wise, things will be better, certainly different, under a different administration. And right now, we're stuck between these two guys, Trump and President, former President Trump and President Biden.
Yeah.
And I don't know if on this particular issue, President Trump will be any better than Biden.
He's not.
Yeah.
He's not. I mean.
Will anybody?
Well, that's the rub.
RFK is a super pro-Israel hawk.
He is insane on the Israel issue.
Yeah.
It's weird. In the old days, you would get a Ronald Reagan that was like, cut this out. You would get an Eisenhower, cut this out.
Yeah.
You would get European leaders that were far more willing to, you know, this is unacceptable. That is out the window.
Is it a character issue where we don't have the kind of men or women in the White House today that we may have had in the past who had the intestinal fortitude to say, cut this out? Or is it because they're much more owned today than they were in the past, quoting Eisenhower by a military industrial complex which tells them what to do?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think in one sense you have, if you think about it from Joe Biden's point of view, Joe Biden is running in a race. Joe Biden believes that they're going to spend $100 million, AIPAC and those lobbies, in order to put in candidates that are going to be pro-Israel and in their best interest. Joe Biden knows that money is going to be used against him and his particular political party if he takes attack against Israel, meaning up and down the ballot. So he is running in a situation where, okay, this is money going to be used against me. By the same token, my party hates me on this issue. What do? I'm in a box. That's the way he perceives it. Now, a certain level of integrity would say, hey, they're just killing 34,000 human beings, half of which are children. Do your job. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
do,
Well, and we could say the same thing down to a minute, but we, you know, the need to try and make China the boogeyman, the right. need to try and make the situation in Ukraine World War X or whatever, you know, the need to consistently go after Iran and Venezuela and certain states like that. Our leaders do that based on needs that don't come internally from them. It seems like it's coming from somewhere else, and they do it repeatedly.
Yeah, and it seems to get worse.
So it's not just the case with Israel.
It's not just case with Biden or Israel or anything else. Like they said, there are countries who we consider. It's almost as if we subvert our internal domestic politics for the larger thing, because the larger thing is what they can focus on as opposed to getting things done in real terms for the public.
And you don't see this thing going away anytime soon, the situation between Israel, Gaza, the whole shakeup.
No, I don't think Netanyahu wants Biden in office.
Well, Netanyahu needs this to continue to stay in office, according to polls done in his own country that show 15% of the people there say, we want you only while this is going on, then we want you out.
Well, you saw the protests. They raided the Knesset recently. And yeah, Netanyahu has a nice, cozy jail cell waiting for him the moment he gets out of office.
The only way he stays out of trouble is to stay in power, and the only way to stay in power is to keep this war going.
Correct.
Kind of like what George Bush was told to do by Karl Rove during the war in...
The Iraq War.
Yeah, the war in Iraq.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
Well, Gantz seems to be pushing or trying to push out. But I had this belief when Gantz was here that the Biden administration was working with Gantz to try to get Netanyahu out of office. Gantz is now pushing for new elections.
Final word, because that was it.
Yeah, that was final word.
Right. But as usual, it's really been a pleasure to have this conversation with you. Really, really good stuff, Jamal. By the way, before we go, I just want to remind you of our mission here. Simple, really. De-silo things. De-silo the world. Stop living in little boxes where you think that's your truth and you only agree with people who agree with you. Truths don't live in boxes. Truth is everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. It's what we try to do right here with a direct impact.